Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. And I got to just welcome Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Keffer here to the program. Guys, so glad to be with you today. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you. Glad to be
Good
with
to be
you.
Here.
Yes.
And, you know, I have to mention this right off the bat, that in just 3 days or so, we've got the Life Recovery Conference, October the 1st. It's this Saturday, Mariners Church in Irvine. And if you want to register, call right now, 800-NEW-LIFE. This is for those who want to learn how to run a life recovery group, or you want greater insight into the history of 12-step and Christian 12-step work. Maybe you want to come and just deepen your experience with the 12 steps. Going to have so many things that we do. I really hope and pray that you'll join us there. It's in Irvine. It's 9 to 5 on Saturday, October the 1st. One day. It's the first Life Recovery Conference. Really excited about that. Now, I'm going to do something we rarely do. I'm going to go right to the phones. Bob has been holding on a while because we did some programs before this one. But let's go right to Bob in Orlando, Florida, listening online. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm having the worst couple years of my life. My wife just separated from me about 3.5 months ago. We've been married for 26 years, 4 children, had a wonderful marriage. The only area that was poor was affectionate intimacy, and she started having hallucinations and delusions 2 years ago, and we found out at that time she had been raped and tortured and molested and abducted as a child. Mm. And so there's a big history there. So she was under psychiatric care for 2 years getting help, and for 18 months of those 2 years, she was getting much, much better. At the end of that time, our intimacy was much better. We did it twice a month. And in January this year, she stopped pretty much altogether. She told me later that she had stopped her hypnotherapy, listening to tapes and things like that from her non-Christian hypnotherapist. And she started to go cold, dark, and silent. And she was very concerned about having to report the rape to the local police. We decided together that it was the best thing to do, and she went and did it. After that, her heart hardened a little bit more, and then later on, she had to go back to the police because her parents knew about the rape, and the police wanted to do a sting operation on the phone against her parents. After that, she was scheduled for a hysterectomy. 4 days later after that, she was suicidal, and I told her, I need you to stop going to this non-Christian hypnotherapist, and I need to get you to a Christian counselor. Within about a month, she had totally disconnected from me, and she was working behind my back to plan this separation and divorce. Totally surprised me with it. We had been working through her trauma.
What is the question? Yeah.
How do I get my wife, who claims to be a Christian, to go to Christian marriage counseling with me? And her heart is just hardened right now. She won't talk to me. And I desire passion with my wife. You know, she was with a sex therapist for 8 months.
Okay, so let's get to that question there. It's always tough when the question is, how do I get somebody to do something? But we get the spirit of what you're asking. All right, Bob, you hold on. We'll get back to you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and we are glad you are.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, let's go right back to Bob. Mylon, Sherry, what do you guys think? How does he have a chance at her moving away from the secular hypnotherapist into Christian counseling?
Well, I wonder what your wife is running from. And you just said something a minute ago that you want to have a passionate, physically passionate relationship with your wife. Yet she is in the middle of trying to sort out immoral passion, hurtful passion, evil passion. She's trying to sort out the wrongness of her life, and she may not have any room for passion right now. And so I would take that as a heavy clue as to what she's rebelling against. You're saying, okay, we were able to have sex two times a month, yet she's in the middle of this heavy, traumatic work that she's doing, of this horrible, horrible thing or things that have happened to her in the past. And it may be that your first goal is to just reestablish conversation and to go to a couple's therapist together and to not put this issue out, I want to have sex, out there. That may have to go on the table for a while. You might have to table that discussion. So that's my initial thought. That may be the deal breaker for her. And I would ask her, is that the deal breaker?
And, Sherry, okay. You have some thoughts on this? What might be helpful?
Yeah, Mylon, you're on it. I mean, that's exactly, because a woman who has been violently raped has to have choice. She's got to have choice in the matter. She's got to have choice in if she's going to touch you, how she's going to touch you or be touched, how she wants to be with you even without touching. I think the more that you empower her to have a voice and to be able to choose, it's going to help her find safety with you again. You know, this is one of the reasons when we go into deep wounds, you know, you've got to really have support around you. You need some support to help you understand what's going on, because it not only impacted her, but it's impacted you. And so having somebody walk alongside of you professionally while she's going through this is going to help you pace yourself as she heals.
So in this issue of her going to a Christian counselor, what have you guys found is the best way? I'll tell you mine, and then you tell us yours. But the best thing you could do, I think, is you go to a Christian counselor and change your life. Show a different perspective. Look at her in a different way so that she notices the change in you. And then you ask her to join you. First time she says something positive about the change in you, you say, hey, you know what? Thank you for that. Would you come join me with this person? So it's not a matter of giving up the secular person for the Christian. It's a matter of watching you and then adding her going to the Christian counselor, and let him help you get her to see she doesn't need to go to that secular counselor again. You guys, what do you find might be a good way to motivate her?
I think it's just to have an honest conversation and say, I love you. I want to be your safe place. Right? Right now you're seeing her. The language you've used with us is that she's hard-hearted. I want to help change your mindset to say she's protecting her heart. It's not about you at all. It's about what's happened to her. And so letting her know what you want to be is a safe harbor, a patient harbor, a loving harbor. You want to be her rock. And entering into that work together would help you learn about her and how you can support her through it. Mylan?
Well, the other thing, Bob, is we have to ask ourselves the question, or you have to ask yourself the question, what am I expecting will happen from the Christian counselor? Will the Christian counselor tell her to come back home? Will the Christian counselor tell her to start having sex with you? What will the Christian counselor, what do you think is going to happen there?
What I would expect is she's been with Christian counselors before, and they've helped her, especially with EMDR therapy. And in February of this year, her non-Christian hypnotist basically said, now that she's gotten her healing, she has to decide if she likes you or not. And that was a red flag for me. And then he made fun of the Bible, and I asked her to leave and go to a Christian counselor. And she said she didn't want to go through the trouble of starting over again.
Well, so this is now really important, because what you're saying is this person is saying two things. First of all, what he said is very threatening to your relationship, and I can see why you would want her to walk away from that influence. But there is some degree to which he's right. She has to decide, as Sherry just said a moment ago, she has to feel as though she has choice to choose you and to want to be with you and to have you as a lifetime companion. I have a feeling that her recoil from you is far more complex than we're touching here on this particular show. And to find out what is her recoil, why does she have touch aversion from you? Why does she have sex aversion? You know, what is that all about? And so that's why I'm asking you this question. What do you think is going to happen there? And I want to know, as Sherry said, we have to have a deep conversation as to really what's going on here. And if she won't talk to you, then there's really something she feels about you that either she hasn't told you directly or she's just indirectly playing out.
I want to add this, that it's not just a secular counselor, but there are a lot of secular counselors that don't laugh at the Bible or think Christians are stupid.
Sure.
So this is a very, very rough situation where,
of course,
he's not honoring her values.
True. I totally agree with that. But that doesn't mean there isn't some truth to his question.
Oh, absolutely.
You see, that's the point.
So become a student. Become a student of her pain. Read books on, you know, what happens to someone when they've been raped, right? Read Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score. All that aversion stuff is her body's way of saying no, because her voice doesn't know how to do that yet. So her body's shutting down with you, but it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Pressuring her or trying to move her into that is going to just make her feel further away. So become a student. She'll appreciate the fact that you're learning about what's happened to her.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you... Okay, go ahead.
She asked me to stop researching on her because it tended to bring it up more, and we needed to focus more on the positives of our strong, you know, marriage after 26 years.
Well, look, she told you what she wanted. That's so great. She used her voice, and you can move into that, right? But if her body's still keeping the score, if her body's still holding herself against you, you can say, well, honey, I totally get that.
Yep.
And we need to grow in the area of reconnecting at some point. So.
All right. I'm glad you called. I hope something we've said is valuable to you. Hang on here. I'm going to send you How We Love. I think it's a great manual for how to get closer to the one that you love. Right now, let's go to Carol from Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Hello, Carol. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, two quick questions, if y'all have time to answer.
They're all right. Let's
questions.
See. Okay.
The first one is, me and my mate, we go to couples counseling, and the counselor, she wears, like, really, really short skirts, and when she crossed her legs, you could see all of her thigh. And I was wondering, should I confront her, or should me and him confront her together, or should I confront her in private, or how do we set a, how do I set a boundary? I don't know whether, I'm not for sure whether she's, whether it's a boundary being broke. I don't really know.
Okay, I got to tell you, I got an answer. I want to hear their answer first. So, what do you guys think? How should this be handled?
I would want someone to tell me. You know what? Every day, I'll let you something know something, Carol. I appreciate your call. I love your honesty because I think you're not alone in that. In fact, I see when I'm seeing a couple or I'm seeing a man, I am mindful. I have a man that I'm seeing today, and you know what? When I get dressed in the morning, I am wearing a dress that goes down to my ankle. I'm in pants, or I'm very mindful of that because I'm there to do the work and not to have their mind distracted. You know, the book Every Man's Battle that Steve has written,
yep.
It's so true. And if there's a bunch of thigh showing in the therapy room, I can guarantee you he's struggling to really stay connected to what you guys are working on.
Yeah.
And so I think, yes, you have a voice. I think, yes, you have the right to bring it to her. And then you get to see whether or not she's going to honor you or not.
And
right?
And my thought is that she would, when the session was over, the husband would walk out and she would just hang back and say it. Would that be a good way to do it? Not in the presence of the husband?
Well, does your husband feel the same?
Oh, he's not my husband. He's
your mate.
Husband.
Well, you said your mate. Okay, your mate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does he feel the same way as you, Carol?
Yes, he does, because I asked him, I said, what do you think? I said, how do you like her? And he was like, oh, she seems nice. And I said, what do you see that's wrong? And then he said, her skirt.
Oh, see? He's honest.
I want to hear
poor guy.
I would do it together, because you don't want to set up this thing that I'm the threatened female.
Yeah, there you go.
And therefore, I'm saying this. And you know what, Carol? I've had talks with my wife. We work in the same office, our counseling office, and I've had talks with her over the years. Honey, what you have on today, do you have any guys coming into your office? Because what you have on, you know, there's just this or that or whatever. I just want to tell you what a guy is thinking as he's sitting there. So, you know, again, through the lens of Every Man's Battle. I think every woman in the world ought to read Every Man's Battle.
Yeah. Gives us a good perspective.
Oh, because it's so important.
We have to be mindful of our bodies and
the
what
male
we're
brain.
Wearing and the male brain.
Now, if you support the program, you see, you don't have somebody laughing at the Bible like the previous caller.
Sure.
And we measure the skirts of all of the women, female counselors that we – no, we don't do that, but we should, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I'm telling you, that's what we're
sensitive.
For. I mean,
God,
we want to help find great counselors. And you know, it's absolutely appropriate when somebody's skirt is so short, even the guy is saying, man, that's a problem. So –
I love her. I love that she asked the question. That was
wrong?
So precious.
What's wrong?
Can
and he
tell
goes,
me what's wrong
the
with
skirt?
Yeah, I love
skirt.
That. I mean, I just want to high five Carol because that's just such a good, healthy question, right?
It
to
sure
be able
is.
To talk about anything.
It is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's see if Ben has a healthy question all the way from Seattle, Washington. Hey, Ben, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. How can we help you today?
I have a lot of questions, I guess, but the main one is... how would I remove images? I've been separated from my wife since July of last year. And now for us to get back together, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but even for me to move on. Any thoughts of sexual intimacy or whatever, all I can picture is my wife with this other woman's husband.
Wow. Okay.
And a little bit of background. I mean, we've been married 28 years, or well, in June. This June was the 28th wedding anniversary.
So she was unfaithful. Were unfaithful too. You were unfaithful.
I was. You know, at the beginning of our marriage, after 6 years, I went. We lived in Alberta at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I still live in Canada. But we live, and now, last year we lived in Ontario. She still lives in Ontario. I live in British Columbia now.
Okay.
But,
well, let's see. Let's see what Mylon and Sherry have to say about those images. And you fixating on the images of her having sex with a man she wasn't married to. What do you guys think? And then, of course, he had an affair 20 years ago. What do you think? How could he move forward here?
Well, it's tough to do on your own. If you want to get back together as a couple, I have... numerous couples like this in my office now and over the years. It takes a rebuilding of the relationship so that you're putting something positive in to your mind and not just trying to take something out of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Good point,
so
Mylon.
You need to have a rebuilding of the relationship so the person can say, well, here's where my mind was at that time, or here's the mistakes I made, or I really want you. I was, for whatever reason... behaving in such a way, and to stop and really analyze what do you want. And there has to be some addition as well as some traction happening at the same time. So to do this thing apart in separate cities, you know, 1,000 miles apart from each other is really, really difficult to do because there's nothing positive to put in there.
I know.
And, you know, here's the other thing. I've found most women, and even most men that have an affair, they're regretful. And they're not sitting there saying, oh, wow, wasn't that great, and reliving that. Most of the time, that just doesn't happen. Sherry, any thoughts here?
I think it's just, is she open to reconciling?
She was, could I give you a little background or a little history?
Sure, go ahead.
Like, when I had the affair, it was a one-night thing. I went to see a friend, and we got into drinking. He introduced me to this woman, and I spent the night with her. And when I got home, I told my wife about it. That was before we were saved. We got saved much later than that. We were faithfully attending church.
But does
Sunday
she want to come back? Is she with this man? Is she with him now?
No. He's still with his wife.
Okay.
Does she want to be back
and
with you at all? That's the big question.
Yes, she did.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, editor of the Life Recovery Bible with Dr. Dave Stoop. Did you know we're about to sell the 2.5 millionth copy of the Life Recovery Bible? And so we're going to have our first annual Life Recovery Conference right there in Southern California at Mariners Church on October the 1st from 9 to 5. It's going to be a day packed with 12-step wisdom, Christian 12-step recovery principles. It's going to be a great day. Come join us October the 1st, 9 to 5, Mariners Church. Call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and be part of the first annual Life Recovery Conference.
For more information or to register for the Life Recovery Conference at Mariners Church on October 1st, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to liferecoverygroups.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or liferecoverygroups.com.
You know, one of the great things about tv.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever. And, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Okay, so we wanted to get a little bit more information, or at least Ben wants to give us some more information. So, Ben, what are you thinking there?
You said she did.
Well,
she want to reconcile.
She did want to reconcile, but, knowing, for me, I don't, alcohol is no excuse for having an affair, but at the same time, from my point of view, knowing that how much it hurt her when I did that, but when I got home and I told her about it and we worked through it, but for her, while we were faithfully attending and both involved in church, for her to carry on with another woman's husband for 4 years, I have a,
it's painful.
I struggle with that.
That's painful.
Okay.
So first off, when you have those images, I mean, you saw your wife, right, with another man. First off, I'm sorry about the impact of that. So much, not only to hurt your heart on a deep level, but also to impact your brain. And I'm aware of something, and I'm hoping I'm right, Ben, and I'm going to ask you just to tell me if I'm not. But as I hear you, and you're even telling us the story, I'm wondering if you're aware of the high level of anxiety that you live with. You have a high level of anxiety. It's like as you're talking, I'm hearing your brain in the way that you're talking to us. It's like your brain is on overdrive. There's these things called basal ganglia in your brain. They're the gas pedals of your brain, yeah. And your basal ganglia are to the metal.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing about your anxiety? Are you getting treatment? Are you in therapy? Are you offloading some of what you're anxious about?
At the moment, no, not really. I packed up a suitcase. When I found out, I stuck around for a year and a half. We did counseling with our local pastor where we went to church, and that,
kind of
didn't work out so good. And we tried another one, and I don't know. For me,
But this is about you.
Right off the bat, when I found out about it, immediately my brain, I actually, instead of pushing her away, I gave her a hug and said, it'll be okay. But as my brain came to grips with it.
No, I'm talking about your physical brain. I'm talking about what I can pick up even over the airwaves.
Do you see yourself as an anxious person, Ben? That's what she's asking you.
Sure, what you mean by anxious?
Anxious means that you have racing thoughts. Anxious means that you worry a lot. Anxious means that your heart sometimes pounds and you get worried about what's going to happen. Anxious, you live in a state of fear. That's something that you need help for, irregardless of what your wife chooses to do, whether she stays or whether she goes. If you don't get this anxiety treated, you're going to be hard for her to attach to. Yes, she hurts you, but you're the one that needs to be on the gurney, my friend. You need to see a psychiatrist. I would encourage you to see someone or a therapist so you can get an assessment to help your brain. Because when you have something like that, you watch your wife with another man, your brain gets kindled. It gets turned up like a fire.
Well, kind of the proof of the anxiety is that when she told him about it, he held on to her, hugged her, versus, experience what most people would do. A lot of times, very anxious people, when they're told about unfaithfulness, they'll hug, they'll cry, they'll lean into.
To try to hold on
because they're afraid this is going to be the beginning of the end. So, I feel for you, and I hope something that we could do would help you. Let me send you How We Love, because I think maybe you had a very insecure attachment there when you were younger. And I think this really could give you a little bit of help here. Glad that you called. Let's go to Julie, Phoenix, Arizona, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hi there.
Hi. Let me gather my thoughts up. I've been listening to your program for 2.5 hours now.
Okay. Thanks for holding.
I have a friend who, last April, I haven't talked to her since last April, and she just recently texted me, and I have an idea based on just my patterns and her patterns that I need to move on, and I'm struggling internally. That I don't know how Christ-like that is, but I have a feeling that it's not a good relationship, and I kind of need to move on. And my question is just, I know that codependency, that there's a fine line there, and I'm just wondering, how you know that.
So when did she get unsafe? What did she did that hurt you? What would make even question whether you wanted to be a friend with her anymore?
It's the constant expectation to answer the phone, to have conversations, to be available. It's the constant, and I can't say that I really love this lady. She's a good lady, good Christian sister.
Hold on. We'll get to this right after this message. Glad you've joined us for New Life Live.
We came here, it's our last resort. We're going to go through counseling, they're going to find her problems, and I'm fine.
The Marriage Solution Weekend is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd.
Obviously, I'm not fine.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love? And how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The biggest thing I got out of this is that I got things to work on, too.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Mylan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Okay, so Julie has been holding, and Sherry, you were talking with her about this codependent relationship.
Well, yeah, I just asked you, Julie, a question, like, what, where is the harm? Because you're getting ready to pull the plug. You're asking yourself a question, should I not be a friend with this person anymore? And it's interesting because we had just had a call with Ben, and we were trying to introduce him to the idea that he might have some anxiety. And when I hear what's happening, her expectations with you, she has constant expectations and you need to be there and answer the phone and be available. It's almost like she's using you as her blankie. I mean, we have to have a self without somebody consuming us or using us for their security. She may have some anxiety. Right? She may have some attachment and insecurity issues. She may be a great woman, but she might be unaware of how burdensome that feels to you. And so part of your bravery, if I was to give you a tip, I would say, because it sounds like you've had a friendship with her for a while, you like her, but you may need to be brave and be honest with her to say, when there's these expectations placed on me to answer in a timely way or pick up when you call, it feels burdensome to me. I don't have it within me to hold that tight a space for you because I feel like I get in trouble if I don't do it just a certain way. And so I'd like to try to continue in our relationship, but I'm going to need you to know that I may not always pick up on time. It may be the next day before I call you back. It may be a couple days later. I don't know, but I want to.
It might be a week. It might be a week. I have a husband, 3 kids.
Okay. Well, then tell her a week. I love it. Look at your voice. You just put a boundary out with me. You know what you did? You did what you need to do to her. It might be a week. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
I've done that. I've gotten this text now after 4 months, and I've done that. I've tried to be very lovingly yet brutally honest.
Good.
And an even plane to myself. This is the only things I can handle. This is the only things I can handle. And it didn't change. So then I get this text yesterday, and I'm feeling pretty confident with understanding my patterns and seeing what I fall into pretty easily, or I get intimidated into as this people pleaser or this codependent person. And I'm like, no, don't answer this back. She won't hear you. And then I struggle with, like, am I being, like, selfish or narcissistic or unchristlike that I don't answer somebody back? Or, you know, as a Christian, do we just learn to move on?
But what you've done is set some boundaries, and she's not heard you.
Well, she didn't text her for 4 months. So at some level, she did hear you. Is that accurate?
She didn't like what she heard.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so you know, it could be good to just respond back and go, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. How are you doing? Just to find out. But I think what Sherry is saying is very important, that, you know, I feel this expectation to answer on demand. And we should never, codependents do that. Pleasers do that. They answer on demand. You say jump, they say how high. And so I appreciate your struggle that you're trying to draw a line. But she has listened to you. She didn't call you for
Mylan's
4 months.
Mylan's right. I stand corrected.
No, I'm not trying to correct.
No, but you're right.
She didn't call. So now call back and say, so tell me, how are you? What's going on? I haven't heard from you for 4 months. Why? What's going on?
So, as a Christian,
we have to speak the truth.
As a Christian, it's your job to look at reality. And the reality is that certain people, no matter what you do, will not be happy. Their whole life is geared around getting more and more out of a person. So you call out of love and Christian love and say, hey, just curious, what happened? And she tells you whatever she wants to tell you. But that doesn't mean now forever you have to respond in a faster manner or whatever. You're just honest with her. And honest is you're reaching out. You're showing her that you haven't rejected her. But she's kind of rejected you. And I think that's going to be the pattern. And, you know, there is a thing in Scripture that says not to wink at wrong. There's another Scripture that says don't argue with a fool. All sorts of things that could apply here other than becoming her little puppet.
See, another word for expectation, is enmeshment. Some people want you to constantly be available at all times, that there's no separation between you and them. And so they require, it's almost like instead of the old dial-up, you know, when we would get online, what they want now is they want that constant, we're constantly connected to the internet. I'm constantly connected to you. So it's hard for some people to then create separateness, like Steve and Sherry are saying. To ask her, you know, what is that you want? I never call anybody that I don't ask them, is this a good time to talk to you? Do you have a few moments?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're not presumptuous.
Yeah.
You're not presumptuous.
Right.
And needy.
And so she's presumptuous, and that's why you feel like there's this expectation. I got to answer a question, got to answer.
So
go ahead, Sherry.
I have one more thing I just want to say. So my thought, based on what these guys just did, is what are you afraid of? It's like her text was a trigger for you. Mm-hmm. Like a trigger, like, oh no, if I get back reengaged, I'm going to get lose ground again. Or maybe a trigger to, I don't like being her friend. I kind of liked peace for the last 4 months, and I don't really want to be a friend of hers. I mean, what's going on in you is really what you want to look at.
Right. Okay. Really glad you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, because, you know, in that book, I say, you are the decider. She doesn't decide when you will take phone calls. You decide. And if you're a decider and somebody doesn't like your deciding, well, that's a problem. Take Your Life Back. Coming your way, we've got the workshop coming up. And don't forget, October the 1st, just in a couple of days, we're doing our first Life Recovery Workshop, 9 to 5, on Saturday at Mariners Church in Southern California. Please come and join us. Now, let's talk to Debbie from Birmingham, Alabama. Listens online. Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
Hello, Debbie. Fine. How are you?
Great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
Okay, so My husband works with a woman, and they've developed this very close friendship.
How close?
He works in a... Well, they work in a profession, first of all, where they have to ride together sometimes during the day. It's like a public safety type of position. And so they text each other back and forth rather frequently, even during off work hours. And I discovered that when they ride together, that if he and I have had a disagreement, that they talk about it. They share with each other problems that they're having in their marriages.
Okay.
And sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. When they first started being friends, I didn't really object to it. And I was, you know, kind of, you know, going along with it because I could see that he was really feeling good about his job and he was really, you know, feeling pumped up about his work. But when I started to realize that, you know, this relationship seemed to be developing, it was around about the same time that he started driving her to work every day because she and her husband were having a problem with one of their vehicles.
Okay, so what's the question with us? You could probably tell us a lot of different things that are making you uncomfortable.
I know.
What's the question?
Well, how do I... He keeps telling me that I'm being unreasonable and that it's just a friendship. So I'm a little bit unsure about how do I know where to draw the line. Like, how do I know what's appropriate and what's not?
Here's what's appropriate, is you say to him, hey, wait a second. When I said I was uncomfortable with this, your response wasn't, oh, honey, what could I do to make you feel better about all of this? When did this start? How much does that hurt? What are the things that offend you? He didn't do that. He defended something that really doesn't look good at all. I think most women would be upset if this was the story and the history with the husband. But what, you and Sherry, what do you guys think about?
Well, I think most men would be upset, too. You know, I work with a lot of people of the opposite sex, and I have friendships with them, and I'm close to them at various, you know, in various places, whether it's here on the radio or at my office, whatever. But the issue is when people start sharing personal problems and they start confiding in each other as opposed to the spouse, that's when it really hits a danger zone. And that's what I would say to him is your biggest concern, that the two of you are confiding in one another your relational problems. And what that does is it creates sort of a bond around wounding, and that is the dangerous part in my mind.
So when someone starts discounting, minimizing, and not validating you, they're hiding something.
Sure. I really agree with that. We'll be back right after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and before we go to Bill, Sherry, you had a couple of comments there for Debbie.
Yeah. You'd like to go over. Hey, Debbie. So first off, let me just validate what you're seeing. I want you to trust your gut. Mm-hmm. I want you to believe what you're seeing, smelling, feeling, and you have your pulse on it. The other thing is, you know, you and your husband have to get into some honest conversation and, you know, talk about that. Get into some marital therapy. Bring it into the room where he can't really minimize, hide, and all of that. The other thing I want to invite you to is to Women in the Battle. We're going to be having it in just a week, 10 days. You owe it to yourself to come. You're going to get tools that weekend that are going to help you break through what's going on in your marriage so that you can get some traction. This is going to get worse if it doesn't get better. I mean, it's already not good. But having you come to the weekend, empowering you, is the most important thing to help you restore your marriage. Mm-hmm. So I'll see you there. Right. Come meet me.
Yep. Please, please do. All right. Hey, don't forget about tv.newlife.com. All right? Please go there. There's a great program called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. And I think you'll really like it with Dr. Cloud. We're going to go to a final caller. It's Bill. He's calling us from Lincoln, Nebraska. Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call today.
Good. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call before we go. How could we help?
Well, kind of my story, been married 17 years and have a half dozen kids. I've had a sexual integrity issue for quite some time, and kind of traumatic childhood growing up, but I've had a couple infidelity issues with my wife. I did go to Every Man's Battle recently and came back, did a full disclosure, and things have just kind of gone downhill from there. We have we are separated now, and she did file for divorce. And my question is, we are talking about reconciliation, going to counseling, and we seem to continue to move backwards instead of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And having a solid plan put in place on how to maneuver through this instead of continue to go backwards. And she says she does want to reconcile, but she also wants to hold on to the divorce. It's not finalized.
What's the question for us then? If that's the reality,
is, I guess in terms of separation, there's a lot of separation anxiety of being alone and knowing, you know, if it really will work, for us. And the difficult part for me is being able to, I guess, help her with the day-to-day activities of the house and the children, but also having this divorce decree over my head.
Yeah.
And not sure how to deal with that.
Okay. Mylan, Sherry, what do you think?
I'm going to interject really quickly. Bill, she has been traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
So you are right now concerned about this divorce decree that's been held over, it's over your head. And I want to say, my friend, you have held deception over her head for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not okay. I'm not trying to shame or judge you. I'm trying to create compassion so that you can understand the impact on this. I know you feel like you're going backwards, but her world has unraveled. The marriage as she knew it is no longer. Her divorce decree may be the only safe place she has right now.
Mm-hmm.
As you are having to really do the repair work for all that you have done. You can win her back, but you are going to have to really understand and be very open to her healing process. It
That's
might
where
take
I'm
her.
That I need help with understanding how to understand where she's at.
Yeah. Have you gotten the book Worthy of Her Trust?
I have read that, and I still it's just without going into everything. There's a lot of moving parts here with hurt people, and it's just kind of a revolving battle between us, and it's hard to stay focused on wanting to continue when you feel like.
Okay, but remember when Jason on the weekend talks about you got to put your suit on, you got to put your pads on, because she's hurting. This just
right.
blew her up.
So, Bill, what do you need to work on? You need to work on tolerating the tensions of not knowing what's going to happen. Your need-to-know factor as an anxious person is super high. So with this decree hanging over your head, it is frightening, it scares you, and you don't know what to do with it. And if you were going to go talk to a therapist and say, I need help with being able to tolerate an undefined season of time that my wife needs to feel the safe place mm-hmm. of separation, help me with being able to tolerate tension.
Yeah, and also just to be able to say to yourself, you know, I kind of earned this divorce decree over my head, and it's horrible, but I got to live with it. You know, I've got to stick with that, and probably nothing that I do, you know, is going to help that other than be the man that I told her I was when we got married. So, I don't know. I hope some of that is helpful to you. And
Jason and Shelley dug their way out, and they are beacons of hope. And
they
you
sure
can
did.
Too.
Yeah, it's true. All right, hold on, and let me send you a copy of How We Love. I think it's a great book, and this is kind of the How We Love. I'll send you How We Love show because it just applies to so many people. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, it's the same number. If you can help us, by the way, tomorrow. In Colorado Springs, I don't know if you're going to be there, but Focus on the Family is hosting Family Life Today's Step Family Conference, and New Life is going to be there because I'm going to be there speaking. And, you know, if you're around, please come by. October the 1st, we've got the Life Recovery Conference there in Southern California. And on the 13th, I'll be up in Wasilla, Alaska. Looking forward to that. I'll be able to see Russia from the backyard of Sarah Palin. And then I'll be over in Morristown also on October the 20th. Looking forward to that. I hope and pray that you will join us at one of our workshops, one of our intensives, Women in the Battle. You've heard us talk about that today.
And Bill, send your wife. Send your wife to that.
Yes.
I just thought about
mm-hmm.
that.
And then we've got not only Women in the Battle, but we've got our first Take Your Life Back workshop and then the Marriage Solution Weekend, October the 21st, there in Southern California. We really want to help you, and we can, but you have to call us and let us hear about what we could do. Maybe there's a book. Maybe there is a workshop. Maybe there's a counselor in your area. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You let us help you. Maybe you can help us. So many people have... You know, they've been helped, and then they give back. And we're their partner in changing lives. We want to be your partner, and we're hoping that anybody that gives to us, they feel so blessed because they see, they hear, they feel the life change that comes about when they support this ministry. It's always tough here, August, September, October, things kind of turn. But if you could help us finish up this month, we would sure appreciate it. And don't forget, the new book is just out, Take Your Life Back. If you want that, if you want to give a gift and that be the thing that we give back to you, we can do that. My thanks to Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Keffer. They care about you, and we're so grateful that they get to do this program, and I get to do it with them. God bless you. Call us if you need us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.